It's here and now. Next month, the U.S. detention camp at Guantanamo Bay marks its 12th anniversary. Opened in 2002, the camp holds so-called enemy combatants swept up after the 9/11 attacks and has long been a place of legal limbo and political controversy. Carol Rosenberg of the Miami Herald is one of the few reporters who's covered Guantanamo continuously since it opened, and she joins us now. Carol, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, first of all, I have to ask you, you were just in Guantanamo, what, last week?
I got back Saturday.
You got back Saturday, okay. And you were there covering the pretrial proceedings for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's the alleged mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. He and four accomplices are facing charges in those attacks. So what happened when you were there?
Well, they were trying to make progress on the pretrial hearings, sort of setting the conditions for the eventual trial. And one of the co-defendants of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, a man named Ramzi bin al-Shib, a Yemeni, just kept disrupting the proceedings. He got himself thrown out four times, ended up calling the judge and at one point the warden of the prison a war criminal separately. Ramzi's complaint is that there's somebody, he says, in his prison cell vibrating it, making noise, disrupting his sleep. He thinks it's a campaign of sleep deprivation. The military says it's not happening, and he's just beside himself, I would say, whether it's happening or not in reality. And in a way, he won because he stopped the hearings to a certain degree. And the judge at the end of the week has decided to suspend pretrial hearings at least until February while they hold a sanity board. So theoretically, come February, we might actually know whether these sounds and vibrations that's disturbing the 9/11 accused defendant's sleep is in his mind. Or is something real?
Huh. Now, Carol, are you in the courtroom when these pretrial hearings have been happening?
Nobody from the public is in the courtroom. We watch and listen on a 40-second delay. It's a national security courtroom. Everything is top secret. The only people allowed in the courtroom are people with clearances to know about what the CIA has done with them and to them previously. And if anything about the black sites or the CIA detention comes up, there's a security officer in the court with his finger on the button, and he can hit a mute button and give us white noise for the stuff we're not allowed to hear. It's kind of a surreal situation. If you're in the courtroom itself, you're behind a wall of glass watching argument and hearing it 40 seconds later.
Okay. But reporters like you are not in the courtroom. You're watching this on delay. And are you able to see any of the detainees?
Absolutely.
Okay. So tell us what Mohammed looks like. I mean, I think the last images we saw of him were right after his capture, that very disheveled, famous photograph.
Probably the most iconic image is the one the CIA put out. If you close your eyes and imagine a man in a torn T-shirt in need of a shave looking like he just got pulled out of bed. That's the KSM that the CIA wanted the world to see. In court, he looks probably like that man's grandfather. He has a massive beard that he's dyed henna orange. The military says using fruit juice. Lately, he's been wearing what they call woodland pattern camouflage jacket to court. He wants the same status as the, if not the general who's prosecuting him, the colonel who's presiding at the trial. And he sees himself as a military man in a militia that was once on our side in Afghanistan fighting with the Mujahideen.
So, Carol, the pretrial hearings of the alleged mastermind of the 9/11 attacks is sort of the capstone of what's been, I understand, a very interesting, if not troubling, year at Guantanamo. I mean, what else has happened there?
Yeah, I mean, most people hear about the trial because that's what I think people want to come out of Guantanamo, some sort of September 11th justice. But there's right now 158 men there. The vast majority of them will never be charged with the crime. Actually, two of them currently have ever been convicted of crimes. So what we've had is a ton of frustration, a big year where you might remember, if you think back, there was a hunger strike. At the height of it, there were 106 men on hunger strike, refusing to eat, and Navy medics were doing these tube feedings to 46 of the men. The detainees call them forced feedings. The Navy says they're humane. And I think that captured the headlines for a while. It certainly captured the president's attention because he spoke about the hunger strike. The hunger strike got him re-engaged, and what we've had in the past 2 weeks is six men have actually left Guantanamo, relocations, transfers that had all but stopped for a year. It seems incremental. and maybe inconsequential because there's still 158 men there. But people in the administration are pretty psyched by this because they say it's a sign that they're getting moving towards the president's ambition of, if not emptying the prison, at least downsizing the population.
Well, all this is happening while this year, I understand, there's also basically been an information blackout. We've taken steps back in terms of transparency?
Absolutely. The problem is that the military has decided, for whatever reason, that they're not getting out of the Guantanamo message what they want, and a bunker mentality is set in. We used to get daily reports of who was on hunger strike and who was being tube-fed. That ended last month. The military said, we're not going to tell you anymore. We don't see any reason for the public to know what's going on inside. And they've started these parole board hearings, which we had every expectation we'd watch a detainee make an argument to administration officials on why he's safe enough to go home. And they sort of slammed the door on that. We haven't been allowed to see those either. And we, the media, are engaging through our lawyers. We want to see these men make an argument why they should go home. If part of being able to close Guantanamo is building confidence in the public that the administration knows what it's doing, we should be able to see these guys occasionally making an argument that it's time for them to leave.
Now, Carol, my final question for you is, there are people who read your reporting in the Miami Herald and, others who follow your Twitter feed. But I wonder if you think that sometimes, or you feel sometimes you're reporting sort of going into a black hole regarding the American public's interest overall in what's actually happening with detainees at Guantanamo Bay.
Yes, reporting Guantanamo can be kind of a lonely place. Sometimes I'm the only reporter down there. But I'm down there because my editor made a decision more than a decade ago that if the U.S. was going to build a prison out of reach of the American public, we were going to do everything we could to keep it within reach of American journalism. This is the last legacy of the war on terror once we get out of Afghanistan that started after September 11th. And the president wants an exit strategy. He hasn't found an exit strategy. Somebody has to report it.
Well, Carol Rosenberg covers the U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay for the Miami Herald. There are links to her articles at hereandnow.org. And as we mentioned, she tweets at Carol Rosenberg. Carol, really great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.